chapter in Matthew's Gospel. And we'll wait for Rafal to get on the screen. There we go. Oh, actually, that's last week's. There you go. Now that's the title of our entire series, The Great Tribulation. Are you rapture ready? Now this morning marks our third lesson in The Great Tribulation. And in this series, we are attempting to ask these questions. Who? What? Where? When? And why? And we are attempting to answer these questions with one very, very important objective. The Great Tribulation. Are you rapture ready? If ever there was a reason to be rapture ready this morning, it's the Great Tribulation. This morning we begin to develop who. Who is the Great Tribulation for? And one more thing, why? Who and why? In Romans 2 and 9 are these words, there will be tribulation and distress for every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first, and also of the Greek. So when we ask the question, who is the tribulation for, clearly from that verse we could see it's for whom? Everyone. It's for everyone. And notice the reason why it's for everyone. For everyone who does evil. Everyone who does evil. There's only one remedy for evil this morning, and that is to be rapture ready. And the rapture requires a message, a gospel message. The grace that saves us. The Christ who died for us. The recognition that we have sinned against God. We've done evil. And the only remedy for evil this morning is Jesus Christ. And when we repent and put our faith in the gospel of grace, when we recognize that there's absolutely nothing we can do to earn heaven, but that heaven was earned for us when God sent His Son, who paid the ultimate price with His life and died for us, when we put our faith in those truths, we're rapture ready. But I wonder if you noticed who is the first to receive the Great Tribulation? The Jew. And we're going to spend some quality time in the coming weeks looking at the tribulation to the Jew first. And the reason why is because the Scriptures are replete with wanting us to know why, but also who. Allow me to develop this tribulation to the Jew first, where you have opened your Bibles, Matthew 24. In Matthew 24 and 3, we read, as He was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to Him privately, saying, tell us, when will these things happen? And what will be the sign of Your coming and the end of the age? I'd like for you to keep the Mount of Olives in your thoughts. And one more thing. What will be the sign of our Lord's coming? Can I tell you what the sign of our Lord's coming is? The Great Tribulation. Everything in Matthew 24 points to this period of time that we want to be rapture ready for, that we want to avoid at all cost. Did you know that the Great Tribulation precedes the second coming of our Lord? Let me show you some passages. In Zechariah 13, 8 and 9, it says, it will come about in all the land, declares the Lord, that two parts in it will be cut off and perish, but the third will be left in it. And I will bring the third part through the fire, refine them as silver is refined, and test them as gold is tested. They will call on My name, and I will answer them. I will say, they are My people. And they will say, the Lord is My God. You may or may not have noticed that two-thirds of the Jewish people are going to die. That euphemism, that Hebrew euphemism, cut off, two-thirds will be cut off, is a euphemism that speaks of death. Daniel 9 refers to Messiah this way. Messiah will be cut off. Messiah will die. Two-thirds of the Jewish people will die. Now, last week I had shared with you there are about 15 million Jewish people in the world. 10 million of them will die. That's more than the Holocaust. There is coming a time for the Jewish people that is worse than the Holocaust. Two-thirds. When will this happen? When will this happen? Well, the very next chapter tells us how we can know that the verses we just read are the Great Tribulation. Remember what I said. The Great Tribulation precedes what? The Second Coming. Well, listen to what Zechariah 14 is all about. Zechariah 14, the very next chapter, "For I will gather all the nations against Jerusalem to battle." I don't know about you, but that sounds like trouble for Jerusalem. "And the city will be captured, the houses plundered, the women ravished, and half the city exiled." That's tribulation, folks. "But the rest of the people will not be cut off from the city. Then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations as when he fights on a day of battle." Now watch this. "In that day his feet will stand where?" What did I ask you to keep somewhere tucked away in your thoughts? The Mount of Olives. What will be the sign of your coming? Jesus taught this, Matthew 24 chapter, from the Mount of Olives. In Acts 1, he ascended to heaven from the Mount of Olives. And they just stared at him as he went into the sky. And you remember what the angels told? "Why are you staring at him? Don't you know that he's going to come back the same way he left?" You know where he's coming when he comes back, right? The Mount of Olives. The Mount of Olives. Jerusalem, Jesus, Jews will be captured, plundered, women will be ravished, but Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. And in Romans chapter 11, it says a deliverer from Mount Zion will deliver the people, and all Israel will be saved. All Israel. So before he comes in chapter 14, the Jews are going to die in large numbers, chapter 13. And do you know why? The tribulation is to the Jew first. And the second coming of Christ is to save them from it. In Isaiah, listen to what we read in Isaiah 10. "Now it will come about in that day that the remnant of Israel and those of the house of Jacob who have escaped will never again rely on the one who struck them, but will truly rely on the Lord, the Holy One of Israel." Somebody is striking God's people. What we're going to learn in this series is that the person that is referenced here that is striking them is the Antichrist. This is a prophetic word. You say, well, how do you know this is a prophetic word? The very next chapter. Isaiah 11, "Then it will happen on that day that the Lord will again recover," what time? The first time, right? The second time. See, this is a reference to the second coming of our Lord. And that's because the great tribulation in the Bible precedes the second coming of our Lord, but for who? For the Jewish people. Will again recover the second time with his hand the remnant of his people who will remain from the islands of the sea. The first time. When was the first time that God redeemed his people? Well, the Exodus, Egypt, the second time, when he comes again. So let's be clear. The great tribulation precedes his second coming, but for who? For the Jewish people. And we see this in Matthew's gospel. We see this in Matthew 24. Let me give you some surrounding gospel narratives. Look at Mark 13 and 9. This is the chapter in Mark's gospel about the great tribulation. "But be on your guard, for they will deliver you to the courts, and you will be flogged in the what? Now, who do you think's going to get flogged in synagogues? Jewish people, right? Jewish people. And this is said in the same chapter about the Great Tribulation. But notice, they're going through persecution. They're going through it. When Matthew, the 24th chapter, when Matthew writes about this, he says, "But pray that your flight will not be in the winter or on a Sabbath." Who keeps the Sabbath? The Jewish people keep the Sabbath. And so the Jewish people are being flogged in the synagogues. The Jewish people keep the Sabbath. They're the ones that are going through the Great Tribulation. When Luke records, he says this, "But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then recognize that her desolation is near." So when you begin to look at some clues in the gospel accounts surrounding the Great Tribulation, you're introduced to words like synagogues, Sabbath, Jerusalem. Listen carefully to what Daniel says about this. Daniel 12:1, "Now at that time, Michael, the great prince, who stands guard over the sons of your people, will arise." Now watch this. This ought to be familiar to some of you. "And there will be a time of trouble, such as never occurred since there was a nation until that time. And at that time, your people, everyone who's found written in the book, will be rescued." Daniel's people. Who are Daniel's people? The Jews, right? But did you notice a time of trouble such as never occurred? That's tribulation talk, folks. And we know this from other passages. Jeremiah 30:7, "Alas, for that day is great, the great tribulation. There is none like it, and it is the time of Jacob's trouble, but he will be saved from it." Jacob's trouble is a reference to whom? Israel. Remember when God changed Jacob's name? What did he change it to? Israel. So Jacob's trouble is Israel's trouble. And notice there's going to be a time that is none like it. Jesus said, "For then there will be a great tribulation such as not occurred since the beginning of the world until now, nor ever will. Unless those days had been cut short, no life would have been saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short." Who are the elect? Have you noticed something in Daniel, Jeremiah, and in Matthew? Three things in common. Number one, there's this period of time that has no equal. It's unequaled. Never has there ever been a time such as this time. Number two, in all three passages, we're talking about the Jewish people. And number three, people are getting saved. You know who gets saved first in the tribulation, don't you? The Jew. The Jew gets saved first. And here's why. The gospel was? No. The gospel is to the Jew first. The gospel still is to the Jew first. We see this more so in Mark's gospel. It says, "But when you see the abomination of desolation standing where it should not be, let the reader understand, then those who are in Judea must flee to the mountains." Where's Judea? The southern part of Israel. You see, if you don't read the context clearly, you might think this has to do with some other group of people. But I don't know about you. If you're fleeing in Judea on a Sabbath, in a synagogue, in Jerusalem, there's a good likelihood you're Jewish, right? So I hope we're not at all confused that the tribulation is to the Jew first. Do you see those words, "let the reader understand"? Who's the reader? And what are they reading? Who's the reader? And what are they reading? Matthew 24:15. This is Matthew's account of what Mark wrote. Only Matthew adds something for us. "Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation," which was spoken of through whom? Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place. "Let the reader understand." Who do you think reads Daniel? The Jews. And why would they read Daniel? Because Daniel is the book that tells the Jewish people that one day you're going to have trouble. What one day you're going to have trouble that is unequaled, unparalleled. You're going to have trouble that the world has never seen before. How bad will it be for the Jewish people during the tribulation? Revelation 12 and 13, and when the dragon saw that he was thrown down to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. This ain't Mary, folks. We're not talking about Mary here. You say, well, how do you know we're not talking about Mary? This is a text for the future. Mary's a person of the past. This is an illustration of Israel. They're the ones that gave birth to the woman who gave birth to the male child. In Revelation 12 and 17, so the dragon was enraged with the woman and went off to make war with the rest of her children who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus. These are Jewish people who believe Jesus is the Messiah during the tribulation. And the dragon, the devil, can't stand them. See, there's going to be worldwide anti-Semitism during the great tribulation that is unequaled, unparalleled, like never before. How bad will it be? Zechariah 14 and 2, for I will gather all the nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city will be captured, the houses plundered, the women ravished, and half the city exiled. All the nations are going to come against Jerusalem. This has never happened before, by the way. There have been nations that have hated them, but not all the nations. Let me introduce you to a passage often misinterpreted in Matthew 24 and 9. Then they will deliver you to tribulation and will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations because of my name. That corresponds to Zechariah 14. All the nations are going to come against Jerusalem because all the nations are going to hate Jerusalem. Now, how many times have you heard preachers make reference to this being applied to the apostles or the church or missionaries on the mission field? And they'll say that, you know, that's what Jesus is saying. Anybody who goes out with the gospel, you're going to be hated by everybody. That's out of context. This is speaking of a future period of time called the Great Tribulation and speaking very specifically about the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel will be hated by all nations. And do you know why? Because of Jesus. Remember what we learned last week? 144,000 Jewish evangelists. You'd be hard-pressed to find 144 today. Let alone 144,000. One-third of the nation will be saved in a seven-year period. 5 million Jews are going to be saved. You'd be hard-pressed to find 5 million Jewish believers from the time of Pentecost till today. And they will be hated because of their faith. Well, what if I told you Daniel, Jeremiah, Matthew, Mark, and Luke were all written concerning the Great Tribulation? What if I told you they weren't meant for the disciples to whom Jesus spoke these words to? What if I told you they're not even meant for you and I this morning? What if I told you that they're meant for a future generation of Jewish believers, listen, that might not even be alive this morning? We know it could not have been meant for the apostles. They died long before the Great Tribulation ever came. Great Tribulation has yet to come. We know it's not going to be meant for the church. We know these verses are not meant for the church. Why is that? Because we're going to be rapture ready. And the church is going to be taken out of this world before the Great Tribulation ever happens. But there's another reason why I believe this to be true. It's these words. But when you see the abomination of desolation standing where it should not be, let the reader understand. What is the abomination of desolation? Notice the reader is going to understand all these things that we're learning when they see the abomination of desolation, when you see it. What if I told you there's no way to see it this morning? What if I told you there's no way to see it over the last 2,000 years? Impossible, folks. It's not something that has ever been seen over the last 2,000 years, and it can't be seen this morning. If that's true, you know what that means, right? This is in the future. If it can't be seen in the past, then it can't be seen in the present. It has to be seen when? In the future. What is it? Well, listen, it's something only the Jews will understand. Only the Jews will be able to understand. Let the reader understand. Only the Jews will understand the abomination of desolation. When we talk about the abomination of desolation, this brings us into the conversation of two things. Number one, the temple, and number two, sacrifice. Because that's where the abomination of desolation is going to take place. Let me just share something with you. No temple. No temple this morning. And no sacrifice. You can't have sacrifice without a temple. Daniel tells us this in Daniel 11 and 31. Forces from him will arise, desecrate the sanctuary fortress, and do away with the regular sacrifice, and they will set up what? The abomination of desolation. Notice there's a sacrifice and sanctuary. There's a sacrifice and there's a sanctuary associated with this abomination of desolation. And when we talk about sanctuary, we're talking about the temple. Matthew 27 and 5, and he threw the pieces of silver into the temple sanctuary. Now, who do we know that sacrifices in the Bible? Jews sacrifice. But they can't today. And they haven't been able to for the last 2,000 years. You know, when Passover season rolls around, we know what animal gets sacrificed during the Passover for the Jews. They don't sacrifice lambs today. You know what they sacrifice? Chickens. You go into Skokie during Passover season, and you'll see Jewish people in their homes with the blood of chickens, and they're waving them in their backyards. Can't sacrifice a lamb today. No temple. Why no temple? Matthew 24. Jesus came out from the temple and was going away when his disciples came up to point out the temple buildings to him. And he said to them, "Do you not see all these things? Truly I say to you, not one stone here will be left upon another which will not be torn down." Do you see why we opened up our Bibles to Matthew 24? It's about the Great Tribulation. It's about the sign of His coming, the Great Tribulation. It's to the Jew. It's meant for the Jew. The synagogue, the Sabbath, Judea, Jerusalem, and the temple. And Jesus is saying to them, the temple is going to be destroyed. Did you notice the picture that we began with? The Great Tribulation, Are You Rapture Ready? Part 3, and it was a picture of an old city picture of Jerusalem. The temple is going to be destroyed. Daniel spoke about this. Why are we referencing Daniel? Here, show me we're following. Let the reader understand whom. Daniel, right? When you see things that Daniel said, then know that the time is near. So we're reading Daniel. Why are we reading Daniel? Well, notice what Daniel says. That after the 62 weeks, the Messiah will be cut off and have nothing. The people of the prince who is to come will destroy the city and the sanctuary. See, Daniel prophesied what Jesus is telling his disciples about in Matthew 24. Messiah will be cut off. Jesus will die. When? Well, before the people of the prince who is to come will destroy the city and the sanctuary. I tell my Jewish friends all the time, you know you missed your Messiah. Well, what do you mean I missed my Messiah? Well, you're Daniel. Your book says that your Messiah is going to be killed before the destruction of the city and the sanctuary. When was your city destroyed? When was your sanctuary destroyed? 70 AD. When the Romans destroyed the city and flattened the sanctuary? They missed their Messiah, didn't they? Don't miss that. Don't miss what we just learned. Can't have an abomination of desolation in the temple in Jerusalem because there's no temple. It was destroyed and it is yet to be rebuilt. So when Jesus is telling, let these readers understand, let them know that the sign of my coming is near. You know how they're going to know, right? There better be a rebuilt temple. There better be a rebuilt temple, folks. And for 2,000 years, no rebuilt temple. And so none of this could possibly happen in our time. None of this could possibly have happened over the last 2,000 years. No temple. We're going to talk about the temple in this series. But first, let's talk about the word abomination. Let the reader understand, when the abomination of desolation happens, what is that? What does the word abomination mean? Well, it's blasphemous. It's detestable. It's gross. It ought to make us vomit. What is it? Daniel again. Daniel 9 and 27, in the middle of the week, he will put a stop to sacrifice and grain offering, and on the wing of abominations will come one who makes desolate. He's going to put a stop to sacrifice. What's he going to put in the place of sacrifice? He's going to put an end to it. He's going to put something in its place. What is it going to be? Well, notice what it is. 2 Thessalonians 2 and 4, who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called god or object of worship, so that he takes his seat where? In the temple of God, displaying himself as being God. That's blaspheme. That's blaspheming. Listen, there's only one person worthy of taking his seat in the temple. And it's not the Antichrist. Hebrews 8, we have such a high priest who has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister in the sanctuary and in the true tabernacle which the Lord pitched, not man. Only Jesus is worthy of taking his seat in the temple, not the Antichrist. So why did we take the time out this morning to spend so much time on the Great Tribulation is to the Jew first? Well, number one, here's one reason. There's a lot of scripture that wants us to understand that truth. We've only scratched the surface. Daniel, Jeremiah, Matthew 24. There's so many other passages that want the Jewish people to understand they're going to be the first to experience the Great Tribulation. But why? We know a little bit about who, but why? How many know that out of all the nations in the world, God only loves one? God only loves one. Deuteronomy 7, the Lord did not set his love on you nor choose you because you were more in number than any of the peoples, for you were the fewest of all the peoples. So what about all these other people groups? Is God going to choose any of those other people groups? Not if you believe your Bible. Amos 3 and 2, you only have I chosen among all the families. By the way, that's why they're called what? What are the Jewish people called? God's chosen people. They're still his chosen people, I want you to know. Now watch what he's going to do with those that he chose. He says, therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities. Why is the nation the only nation that God loves and chose the first to experience the Great Tribulation? Why? How many know this verse? For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. You see that word is? Please don't interpret that to mean was. Was is not the word, it's is. It's a present tense without completion verb. The gospel is and always will be to the Jew first. That's the reason why the first people to get saved in the tribulation are all Jews. Who are the first people to get saved in the Old Testament? Jews. Who are the first people to get saved during the church age? 3,000 Jews. When Paul writes this, he writes this many decades, listen, after the Jews rejected Jesus. He writes this many decades after the apostles were exiled out of Jerusalem for their faith. And Paul is still sitting there saying, the gospel is to the Jew first. And by the way, where did Paul go every time he made a new pit stop in a new city? To the synagogue. He always went to the Jew first. He didn't just say it, he did it. He lived it. And by the way, I seem to recall that Paul the apostle is the apostle to whom? The Gentiles. So the apostle to the Gentiles is always going to the Jew first. That doesn't make sense unless it always is to the Jew first. Now listen, you know what that means? That means it'll always be to the Jew first until the trumpet sounds. And so if it's going to always be to the Jew first until the trumpet sounds, and you're not a Jew who's rapture ready, guess what? You're going to be the first to experience the great tribulation. There will be tribulation and distress for every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. It's not a coincidence, folk, that the gospel is to the Jew first in Romans 1 and the great tribulation is to the Jew first in Romans 2. Not a coincidence. The title of our series, The Great Tribulation, Are You Rapture Ready? What happens if you're not? What happens if you heard the gospel during the church age and you persist in rejecting the gospel? You remember what we learned last week? God is going to send upon them a deluding influence so that they will believe the lie. Why? Because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. Can I tell you something that God loves more than the Jew? And can I tell you something that God even loves more than the world? For God so what? Loved the world. He loves the Jew, he loves the world. But let me tell you something he loves more than both of them. Are you ready? The truth. The truth. And you can't talk about the truth without talking about the one who said, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no man can come to the Father but through me. You see, if you reject the truth, if you reject the love of the truth, what God is saying is, I love the Jewish people. They are my covenant people. They are my chosen people. I do have a future for them. And I do love the world. I sent my son to save the world. But if you reject the truth, then you're going to receive the great tribulation. And that's the reason why the title of our series is The Great Tribulation. Are you rapture ready? To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Here's what we're going to learn next week. Sometimes God uses pain to bring people to their knees. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we ask that you would take your word and teach your word to your people. And that we would understand that you love your son, you love the truth even more than the people you sent your son to. You love the truth and you love your son even more than the people you sent him to first. And that you've been patient with us. Not wanting anyone to perish, but all to come to repentance. And that's the only way to be rapture ready, is to repent. So, Father, I pray this morning that if there's someone who's not rapture ready, that your word today may have caused them concern in their soul and in their heart and in their mind. That this is the day of salvation. That they ought to draw near while you can be found. This is the day that you can be found. This is the day of salvation. And I pray, Father, that you would use the horror of what is to come to cause people to repent and believe the gospel of grace, to change their minds concerning what they believe. They can't save themselves. On their best day, they're not good enough. And on their worst days, there's still grace for them. And so, Father, I pray that they would come through your Spirit and your Word to that place of repentance and faith, that they would be rapture ready, and that all of these future events would have no impact on their lives. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you for listening.
that the Lord of all the earth would care to know my name, would care to feel my hurt. Who am I that the bright and morning star would choose to light the way for my ever-wandering heart? Well, not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, faithful in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling, Lord, you catch me when I'm falling. Because of what I've done, but because of who you are.